testimony how you came to the Lord or your healing. Don't need those yet. And it has power. And I can remember when I left Broome, my pastor said to me, oh, you guys can't leave Broome. What about your testimony? What about the people in town that know you and they know how much you've changed? You're leaving. We don't want you to leave. We want you to stay. So more and more people get saved. And I go, my testimony goes where I go.
Yeah, that's it.
It does. Where are you? Cheryl, that was an amazing testimony. Takes guts to stand up and say that. Really does. I take my... You're my sister in the Lord. Because you know where I came from because I shared it with you one day, didn't I? I'm going to quickly give my testimony. For 7 years, I was absolutely stoned off my brain every day. I had good jobs. I made good money. But I was stoned. I had a competition going with my late husband. Who could grow the best dope? Never won. He always did. I won bonging competitions because I've got good lungs. I'm a singer. And then Jesus got hold of us. We went to Broome. Oh, we just escaped a jail sentence, by the way, too. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but, you know, I just want you to know where I came from and what God does when he gets hold of someone's life. He turns you around and he changes you and he uses you. Yeah, that's coming up nearly 40 years next year. I love the Lord. I'm so glad he didn't leave me where I was. He's transformed me. Wow. That was not what I was going to share, but because I've been keeping it a little bit of a secret. You know, I don't want people to know that I nearly went to jail. It's terrible. Fancy that. Gee. I'm a mighty woman of God. Oh, that's who I am now. Transformed. Okay. So, I will open in prayer in a little bit, but this is actually a true story. This happened to me. Okay. It was about 2 years ago that the Lord told me that I was slipping and that I was no longer doing the things that I used to do. He reminded me that I always took the preaching of the Word of God very seriously and that I always used to take... It's not there on the... thing. That's all right. Not a problem. I was so scared about that. I was like, oh no, they'll know what I'm talking about. What's that scripture? Fear not. Yeah. Okay. So he reminded me that I always took the preaching of the Word of God very seriously and I always took notes. I wrote down the scriptures and the key points that spoke to me. He encouraged me to simply pick up the baton that I had dropped and to start taking notes again, which I did. I noted down the scriptures and the key points that spoke to me, that I could review them at home, and then I could treasure them. So after I had reformed my habit and was enjoying it, I started to notice that very few people in church were actually taking notes. And that's when I felt the Holy Spirit encouraging me to share note-taking with the church. But my reaction was, no. As you do, you get scared. And I went, no, that's more like criticism. And they may not like me telling them that. And I was fearful of what others might think of me. But it was about a year or 18 months ago that Pastor Paul and Jane were here. And Pastor Paul had a word for me. He said that the enemy has rolled you up in a carpet rug and the enemy is trying to shut you down and to stop you from bringing words of encouragement to the church. And I looked at Jane for support and I just welled up with tears because I knew he was right. I had not encouraged the church and I had not obeyed the Lord. And that's when this message got birth. So I'm just going to open a prayer today, church. So, Lord, Lord Jesus, I just commit this message to you, that your Holy Spirit would speak to your people today and that this message will be received with love and encouragement. Amen. Now, years ago, I used to teach children's church and youth group, and I would tell the kids that this is like a treasure hunt. There was many treasures in the Word of God for them to have, and that they could have as many as they wanted. I would stop and I would ask them, have you got your treasure yet? And they would tell me, yes. I go, what is it? Jesus healed all the people. And I'd continue on and I'd ask them, have you got more treasure? Jesus obeyed. The disciples obeyed Jesus. Well, Jesus did. He obeyed the Father, didn't he, by coming to earth. But the disciples obeyed Jesus. I would tell them that it was a treasure hunt, and they would get excited because they could extract treasures from the Word of God. Now, I think it's about two-thirds, I've heard it's about two-thirds of the total Bible that is actual prophecy. So, God, through His Holy Spirit, spoke to the prophets with dreams and visions and revelations, and they were told by God to write it down and record it for a future generation, which they did. Now, if they had not done this, we would not have our Bibles today. They had parchments, they had scrolls and manuscripts, and the Word of God was recorded for us and then translated into different languages. And the very first thing that was ever written on a printing press was the Word of God. How cool is that? Now, in Matthew 4, it reads, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, we need spiritual food for our strength. And in Matthew 4:7, Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, to him, Satan, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. When the enemy, the devil, was tempting Jesus, Jesus just said, it is written. He used the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to stand against the enemy and to stand firm. Now, these things are the second, third, and fourth things that were ever recorded in the New Testament that Jesus said. It is written. So is it important for us to have things ourselves written? The book of Matthew was written to the Jews. And the book of Mark was written to the Romans. The book of Luke was written to the Gentiles. And what did Jesus write on the ground when they brought him the woman caught in adultery? Jesus felt that it was important to write something on the ground. What? We don't know. But Jesus wrote. Now, when it comes to taking notes, you don't have to be perfect. We can have spelling mistakes. Hey? Bless you. You can have spelling mistakes if you're me. You can be untidy. Just get down the key points in the scriptures. It helps you to stay focused. If you're taking notes, you're waiting for treasure, eagerly anticipating. Now, someone asked me years ago, not in this church, but someone asked me years ago in church for my notes because they didn't bring notes to church. And I said, no. Say that word a lot. But the reason was that I had spelling mistakes and you would have thought I was illiterate, seriously, if you read my notes. It was scribble. And I said, no, you can't. And that was the reason. I did explain that to them later. I said, no, you won't be able to read it. So it's not about being neat and tidy. Just get it down fast. You can always correct it later. So when I take notes, I get the numbers down first. For example, 2:15. I get the verse and the chapter, the chapter and the verse. And then I would write down 2 Timothy, because you can always go back and find the book. But if you haven't got the numbers, you're lost. And we don't always have PowerPoints, as we saw today when we lost the words. Okay. So can we look at it? Oh, it's already there. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. What are we doing with the word of God that gets delivered to us? Are we handling it, God's word, correctly, or are we letting it slip through our hands? Now, that's a question that we need to ask for ourselves. Then in Proverbs 3:3, it reads, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart sounds a little bit like having the word written in a secret place or a precious place or perhaps a notebook. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this is the word of God in a nutshell. This is what God's word does for us. The Holy Spirit has corrected and rebuked me from time to time. That's why I'm still standing here, because I listened. Now, it's the art of writing that's been stolen from us. It's been lost. It's been lost. We get caught up in technology and it's diluting the things and we've forgotten the art of writing. We have lost the need to even ask people the time because it's on our phones. We just flick through and it's there. We open it, it's there. And if we get lost, we use a GPS. We no longer have to even talk to someone and ask them the directions. Yeah. Times have changed and we need to get back to basics. We are being dumbed down. It's in the schools and they, whoever they are dumbing the students down. It's subtle, it's very subtle. And it's getting by with the minimum input. And it's creeping into the churches very subtly. We are students of the Word of God. Now, in John 13 and 14. Can I just wipe my nose for a second? I can feel it dripping. Sorry. Don't have COVID. Sorry. Sorry. I'm human. John 13:3-14. And you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is who I am. And then Jesus said, now that you call me Lord and teacher, he changes it. Well, we are in school, and Jesus is our teacher. This is Sunday school. That up there is children's church, and we are in Sunday school. And in Matthew 5:41, which is in the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us, if someone forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Now, that was back in the Roman days, and if someone was walking from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, the Roman soldiers would come up to you at any time and say, hey, you carry my bags, carry my shields, carry everything that's too heavy for me, and you had to carry that for 1 mile. It was the law. You had to do it. But as a free man, what the Jews would do, they would say, I will carry it 2 miles because I'm free and I can go the extra mile willingly. And that is what we are called to do. More. Go the extra mile because we are free. We have a choice to go the extra mile. We can do extra. We don't just have to sit in church and just listen. We can capture all the treasure. if we... Oh, we can, sorry. We can capture all the treasure by writing it down, recording it, studying it later, filing it. If we do that, we show that we value it. After all, it's the Word of God. Now, Rick Renner, I don't know if you're familiar with Rick Renner. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he, yep, brilliant preacher. And he's now based in Russia, and he builds churches in Russia. Rick Renner said, armed with the Holy Spirit's wisdom and anointing, a minister can deliver a message that lands in the hearts already prepared to produce the desired harvest. Christians sit in church and freely receive of the word and the anointing, often unaware of the great price that the minister put forth to obtain it. Are we taking the message seriously, or are we letting it fall through our hands? Has the enemy pulled the wool over our eyes? I say yes. When I was a child, I had to eat everything on my plate. If I didn't eat everything on that plate, I didn't get dessert. The reward. Now, we are eating here of spiritual food. Now, if we go shopping and I do 6 bags of groceries, do I leave 2 behind? No. And if we go to an Asian restaurant and order too much food, do we ask for a doggy bag to take it home? Yes, to eat it later. Because it tastes better later. You get more out of it. Okay. Now, we all get things wrong from time to time, and once we realise the mistake, we correct it. We start again. Now, when I started taking notes in church, I loved it. And on my last holiday in the mountains, I took my notebooks with me, and I reread all my notes from the last 18 months, and I had a ball. Every scripture. Yeah, I had a ball. Stopped my other reading doing this. It was great. I revisited everything. Dark days and in the south door and out the north door. And yeah, Steve loves Psalms. He always preaches, you throw a few Psalms in. Yeah, I loved it, loved it. So I had to, and I was so glad that I had disciplined myself to take notes in church. Now, the funny thing about that is, on Sunday morning when I was watching David Jeremiah or Michael Youssef or on YouTube watching Rick Renner or anyone, I'd be taking notes. But when it came to coming to church, for some reason, I was slipping. I wasn't doing it. I don't know how, it was subtle. I blame the enemy, but it was subtle. We just let habits slide sometimes. Well, years ago, they had scribes, and their jobs was simply to take notes. Remember the saying? Now, that's a noteworthy saying, worthy of taking notes. And the word scribble actually comes from scribes. So you got permission to scribble. Now, in school, we took notes. We got homework, and we need to get back to old school basics. Kids today in school get a reward certificate whether they have done good or bad, whether they have earned it or not, because it's simply not fair that they should miss out. It's a part of the dumbing down program. But we're different. We're different in the kingdom of God. We have to earn our rewards, or we can miss out. I had to ask myself the question, am I going to be satisfied with just being saved and scraping by with a pass mark, or am I going to excel and be the best that I can be and finish the race strong and strive to pass with honours? Because if I strive to pass with honours, I will be honouring my Lord, my Saviour, my Master and my Teacher. Or am, and I'm also going to earn my Master's degree, because my Jesus is my Master. Do you want to pass with honours? Do you want to get a master's degree? I think that's actually where the universities have named them from. Yeah? Because everything starts with the Bible, doesn't it? It's the first book in school. And I want to hear, well done, faithful servant, when I get to heaven. Now, in Matthew 6:19, it reads, "Do not store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, and where thieves do not break in." Have we been allowing the enemy to steal from us? Yes. Now, the material things are secondary in life. It's the treasures of God's word that has value. Now, I stopped bringing my Bible to church, but when I heard from somebody that Steve Ennis had preached on that, I changed. And I started bringing my Bible to church. This is my very old one, but I bring it because it's small, it fits in my handbag. Whether or not I need it, I don't know when the PowerPoints are going to go down. And I don't know when someone's going to ask me a question and query it, and I'll be able to find it, because they don't want to just know the word, they want to hear it from the word of God. So now I bring it. Now in Revelation 20, verse 15, God talks about what happens to those people whose names are not written in the book of life. God has written your name in the book of life. If you're saved, your name has actually been written in the book of life. Okay. Have you ever heard a person say, "I want to be a writer"? Well, God is an author, and he's the author of life. And in Hebrews 12:2, he is the author and finisher of our faith, like Valerie said. And we have been made in his image, so we can be authors as well. Isaiah 49:15-16. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she bore? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." Now, the New American Standard and the King James Bible says inscribed. Inscribed, engraved. But God has written our names on his hand. It's important to him to write things. Now, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples gathered up the leftover food. There was nothing to be wasted. Now, that was physical food, and it had value. But we're eating spiritual food and the word of God. So the word of God is to be gathered up. Don't waste it. Take it home with you. Now, Proverbs 9:9-12. "Instruct a wise man and he will become wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the righteous one is understanding. For through me your days will be many and your years will be added to life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you." Now, as Christians, we need to grow in that wisdom to be teachable and add to our learning. Do we fear the Lord and hunger for knowledge of understanding of the Holy One? If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. We need to use wisdom in our Christian walk and get back to basics. I'm sure most of us read our Bibles every day, but we have so many freedoms in this country that we can take things for granted sometimes. Are we taking advantage of every opportunity to record the Word of God and write it down? Today we have our Bibles, but that may not always be the case. Bibles have been burnt in the past, and the world hates Christians, that we're seeing more and more of each day. And Jesus said, "If the world hates me, it'll hate you." Scripture says, when you get persecuted, not if you get persecuted. Dark days are coming and they're here. Remember they shut our churches down a while back? Yep. We need to be prepared and have handwritten copies of the word. Remember in school when we had to write things down to get it reinforced? Yep. Now in Psalm 119:18, it reads, Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. I'm a stranger in this earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your word at all time. I was taught that scripture basically the day I got saved. That's what you pray when you read the Bible. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. So when I read the word, I'm asking God for revelation from his word. That scripture says that we don't belong here on earth. We're coming home and we need your commands to help us. My soul is consumed with longing for you at all times. God's word needs to be the desire of our heart. And God's word needs to be a priority for us. And it needs to be a discipline for every Christian. And so taking notes in church will be a discipline. Now, Joe and I were looking at an old preacher. Hadn't even heard of him, really. His name was either C.R. or R.C. Sproul. And he... Sproul. Okay, thank you. You've heard of him. Okay, he's cool. He's old, but, you know. Anyway, we watched something on YouTube, and it was from years ago. It was from about 40 years ago. I could tell by the clothing they were using, It was like, oh, my goodness, we don't wear that. But one thing I noticed, it was an audience of about 100, maybe 150 people, and everyone either had an open Bible or a notebook. You could see their pens. They were taking notes. Church, we need to get back to old school. Let's get back to being writers. So, church, I just want to thank you for your attention and listening to me. I just felt very strongly that the Holy Spirit was telling me to simply encourage his people. And I hope that you'll be encouraged by this message. Thank you.
Thanks, Chrissy. I think the biggest thing I got was, because I do take notes, was to honour the word, and that came through really strongly for me. Thank you for sharing. Sorry we were going a bit later today, but it was what a wonderful day. So what we'll do is we'll sing